I'd like to call this meeting of the Taney County Commission to order this Thursday, July 11th, 2013. And note that our first agendized item regards a request to speak to road improvements to Sunset Inn Road. Mr. Beanland, would you like to join us?
Sure.
That microphone, if you'll pull that up close, serves two purposes. It records and it broadcasts live over the internet.
Records.
And so if you'll identify yourself, we're ready to hear whatever it is that you have to bring before the commission.
My name is Scott Beanland. I am here really on behalf of the developers, Nick and Joe Bima, developers of the proposed Veterans Victory Village, which is a disabled veteran housing proposal. They have recently gone through and been granted a Division III land use permit. Part of the staff recommendations for that land use permit was the needed, I guess I should say, road improvements or road upgrades to Sunset Inn Road. And at this point, we really are just in the process, with your help, of defining the scope of those road improvements. I will say that the developers are willing, open, and committed to making whatever improvements they need to make to the road. They want to make improvements to get to their property and to their project, obviously. What they're asking is that they have the opportunity to work with their civil engineer and with Road and Bridge to make any of those improvements, all of those improvements, within the existing 40-foot right-of-way. So I guess the major question at hand is what right-of-way will be required, since it is an existing county-maintained road.
Would you gentlemen like to join us?
Well, thank you.
Well, first, let me make a couple of comments, then I'll open it up to the commissioners that are here. I have reviewed the minutes. Matter of fact, I re-reviewed them. I asked Bob to furnish them for me again this morning so that I could take a quick look at them. And I know that, and if I understand it correctly, part of the process that P&Z underwent in making their decision was to make certain notes about the road and that certain things would have to be perhaps done. I noticed some comments that were made by Randy as a sitting member of P&Z to that regard as well. We're currently looking at what true easement exists. We've been informed by some that once you get down to, you guys might have to help me out here, Ladybug.
Yeah.
That from that point forward, we're not sure there's a 40-foot easement. There may be. I'm
right.
not aware of that, but we're looking to see if that's a 30 or if it's even a 20. So that, with that in mind, know that we are, in fact, taking a look at that. In reading what I see in the minutes, my question for you guys are this. Were there stipulations specifically that were laid down regarding this project and the approval vote that was given on a 4-3 vote? Because I see mention at one place of a 50-foot, which refers to current county standards, and I see mention at another time of 40-foot by someone else. So I'm just curious about that. If you guys can help us with that.
The according to mapping, the road shows a 40-foot current. But what I would suggest is the entire road be surveyed to determine that is in fact 40-foot on that on the majority of the road, or what is actually there. And so that would require a survey. The I mentioned the road being need to be widened out to a 50-foot right of way for the size of the project that was under concept there, and the amount of traffic. It's going to increase the traffic. The other thing I think that was mentioned in the part of the contingencies was that a traffic study be done also to determine what would be required to make the road safe with the existing alignment.
One thing, I've brought the copies of the actual decision of record, and I highlighted the items just the Randy's referencing concerning the requirements. They're actually on the second page concerning the improvements to Sunset Road. And really, exactly what Randy said, we really had requirements that they that a traffic impact study would be completed, and also an engineering improvement plan, and that basically the issuance of, on item number 7, the issuance of land disturbance permits, and then basically Division 2 construction permits would be contingent on the necessary upgrades being made to Sunset End Road. I think where the primary debate was within the Planning Commission was concerning the acquisition of additional right-of-way on Sunset End Road. And I don't want to speak for the developer, but just in conversations with the developer, one thing that's been brought up is just a possible suggestion as far as improvements was the possibility of upgrading Sunset End Road to a asphalt curb and gutter road, which, I mean, by the road standards, we still either way look at a 50-foot right-of-way, but when you look at the actual road width from curb to curb, it's calling for a 31-foot minimum. And I think what the, and again, I don't want to, the last thing I want to do is speak on behalf of the developers, but what the developers brought to me was that they were hopeful that potentially, and they've really expressed that they would make any required improvements from T Highway all the way into the property. I think the primary question is that road right-of-way acquisition.
And I will say they're completely supportive of that traffic study being done. And again, working with their civil engineer and Randy and Road and Bridge to define exactly the best way of approaching the improvements or the overall scope of the improvements. Again, like Bob mentioned, the real elephant in the room is the acquisition of additional right-of-way. On 2.5 miles or so.
Well, there's a number of things that need to be clarified for me, but and first let's start with H, where you talked about the traffic impact study. Was it the intent of P&Z to have the developer provide a traffic impact study?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And was the intent of P&Z to have an engineering improvement plan submitted?
Yes, at the cost of the developer.
And then number 7, help me with this. Prior to the issuance of on-site land disturbance permits and Division 2 permits, the developer should make the necessary upgrades to Sunset End Road in compliance with Taney County Road and Bridge standards. And to me, that means whatever the standards are. I'm sure that whomever it is that's wishing to do the development may be questioning what that requirement is, but it, right now it's 50 foot. That's what's written in the requirement, isn't
it? That's in the requirements, and I know road improvements can be done to a certain extent within a 40, but is that, that doesn't meet our standards. And when you go in there to rebuild, reconstruct, improve a road, the biggest issue you run into is existing drainage, existing utilities that all have to be moved, and you can widen a road with curb and gutter within a narrower right-of-way than 50 foot. Problem is what's all in the way to accomplish that? That's going to have to be moved, and then easements have to change as far as utilities and different things. But you're still basically staying with the same alignment, which if you've got any sharp curves, that it doesn't give you the right-of-way to obtain sight distance around curves that may be existing.
You stated something, Scott, that was that I didn't catch when I read through this, and I didn't catch anything that said it, but you said that there was a possible improvement to T Highway, which is a state road.
No, out to T Highway.
Out to T Highway,
right.
That's what I mean.
Yep.
Out to T Highway. That particular road then has multiple landowners. If we had to go to what we have as a standard now, I didn't realize that you was going to try to come all the way to a T Highway, which it's encouraging to hear that, because I think it's a rather dangerous road if it's not improved to that point,
mm-hmm.
For the additional traffic that would be on it.
Right.
I'm familiar with the road. It's real narrow. We have these situations throughout the county where Randy's well familiar with it. We worked on a lot of projects trying to take dangerous curves, this and that, but the road easement itself may not set exactly where the road is.
Yep.
Right. And that's where we would have to have, under what Randy has recommended, a survey done to see exactly what all is involved.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the moving of the road or the existing road, it may sit on the corner or the side of a easement that's 15 feet over on,
yeah,
where across the fence. So down on that lower end of that thing, there's places where it's fence row to fence row. I don't believe it's over 25 feet.
35.
Is it 35?
Yeah. Fence to fence.
Fence to fence.
Yeah.
But we'll have to look at that, and I guess that's something Randy might do and bring to the commission a view of the survey line compared to where the road is existing now. And the way I'm understanding that this morning is that you're going to actually be responsible. When I say you, I'm talking about your
the developers.
The developers. Yeah. Will be responsible for that, and it's a rather large project on that mm-hmm. very end of the road. So,
yep.
The safety issues are mainly what we're concerned about.
Yep.
Brandon's driving the road right now. I can see it from here. He's going too fast on the computer.
What's the speed limit down there? I'll slow down. There's quite a few houses and stuff already down there, isn't there?
Yeah. There's a trailer park down there, too, that's...
Mm-hmm. There's
got 100 lots or something in it, I think.
There's been two or three subdivisions.
But that's on Ladybug.
Put in there.
It is.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and the sub or the trailer park's been in there long, many, many years.
Right. And Sunset goes right straight on after you take it a corner. It goes right straight on.
And dead ends at the Fulkerson property.
Right.
But even past Ladybug, you've got, looks like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 houses off to the left.
On the left, on the bluff side.
So it looks like there's another little development there, and then another little house, and then it dead ends down there.
Correct me if I'm wrong. The question you have for us and what you're seeking is some type of determination regarding width or easement or
right-of-way width.
Right-of-way width.
I guess
that's what I meant. It's an easement.
My personal question is item, I believe it was 7 of the decision of record stated, I don't recall exactly how it was worded, but in compliance with road and bridge standards. It's an existing county road. Obviously, any new road that they would put in on their property would be built to current new road standards. But how do you address, how are existing county maintained roads addressed?
How far down does the county maintain? All the way or part of the way?
All the way to where the Fulkerson property starts. We go right to the gate.
And I believe the road is actually, at one time it was recorded through the Fulkerson property too, I think.
There is some existing couple of different roads on that property that that information
that were public roads, right?
That were,
because the early plats on anything like that were listed as public roads, not county roads.
Right.
And to answer your question on that, Scott, what we do, what's existing, is what we would do on any other county road that we consider dangerous, and we go in and try to make improvements on that
as safe as possible. Road,
as safe as possible. So, like I said, with the narrowness of the road, another thing that they're probably considering is the utilities into the property. Is that's the reason the 50-foot is there, because that gives you room to use certain utilities on the road easement for access. And so as I go back to state, the main thing that they're concerned with and that the commission would be concerned with would be the safety issues. As far as the survey, I think the only way that we can actually determine that is through a survey of where the existing road lies with the easement lines.
Relative to the existing easement.
Right.
Like you said, half the road may be out of the existing easement. That wouldn't be uncommon to see.
Right.
Randy, is this road in our cart road map, all of it? How far?
I can't tell you how far. I know how far we maintain, but I'd have to look that up. But I'm pretty sure it's one of our older original roads.
Would you look at that for me to see where it goes to, at least on the CART funding, or the CART map?
The gate at the Fulkerson place, I went on my first duck hunt down on that bottoms area down in whenever I was in high school, and used to be able to go through there, and then they closed with a gate the road at the property edge. And I don't know, that needs to be looked up. That's, I'm not revealing how old I am, but that had been 40 some years ago. We would have seen.
Were you like 30 then?
I was young. Anyway, we would have seen whether there was a vacate of that road. You need to look back through the records, because for some reason, if it was a county or public road through there and it was gated off, there had to be some sense of gating it off. At the time, I think College of the Ozarks had part of it on down there.
They still do, and then they lease that lakefront also from Empire.
Yeah.
They have a lease down there.
Yeah. So, anyway, all those things need to be looked at to see, and I think the most important thing for anybody to do before we ever do any prejudging or work on this is to get the survey. I mean, that's number one, I think, to put before Road and Bridge and County Commission. The County Commission has no say-so on anything other than this road as far as the construction of this road, and we have to go by our standards that we've adopted. So that's the only thing that we have to do P&Z has the other regulation.
We don't have all the answers that you need. We're in the process, hopefully, of finding some of those answers.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at right-of-way, when we answer the different questions that we're bringing up and address the issues that you just brought up, then we'll have a better handle as a commission, at least. And then we will ask council where we go from there, I would assume.
Right. I think that it is in the best interest of the developer to have a, no matter what we determine, a 50-foot road easement with the capability of having a utility or whatever to go alongside where you might not receive permission to cross with what you need.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say that where you kind of understand what I'm talking about? Because the easement to get into a piece of property, whether it be utilities, whether it be, I understand you have your own treatment plant and all that kind of stuff as far as the sewers and all that's been addressed, but just to the availability of having an easement to get in with utilities is very important to the developer.
Yep.
Question I could have, if I could.
Yes, sir.
Will this, I didn't know, just a recommendation as to, will we run this by council as far as, one of the concerns members of the Planning Commission had was whether a private developer could be required to acquire additional right-of-way on an existing county-maintained road. I didn't know if that was a question that needed to be run through
council. We're not the group that put forth these restrictions. This came from P&Z, and they said,
yes,
this is going to be complied with, this is going to be complied with, and this is going to be complied with. So it's still, as far as I'm concerned, in P&Z's hands as to... but if your question is there some legal direction that you need to follow, I don't have any objection to us asking some of those questions or having Bob. But is that what you're asking?
Yes. Yes.
I'm sorry that I wasn't very clear there.
No.
What I see in front of me is that P&Z's made a decision, and along with that decision, they put and added some stipulations.
Yes.
For this to be valid, this has to be done. What we need to more accurately pinpoint is exactly what does that mean.
Exactly.
And that's exactly some of the things we need to ferret out right away, because I don't know.
Remember, one step would be the survey. I mean, that's the first thing you have to do, because there may be alignment that you need to address before you ever start any of the rest of this process.
Yep.
So...
So from the, forgive me for asking maybe a dumb question, but from the developer's point of view, should before they proceed with a survey, should they wait to hear if there is if the authority exists for P&Z or the county commission or whoever that entity is to require a private developer to acquire additional right-of-way? In other words, I mean, they can't, they're not going to want to go through the expense of the survey, close on the property, proceed with their project, if in 60 days or however long it takes, you know, they find out we're not going to let you proceed because you can't get a 50-foot right-of-way.
Simply as I could state it, if it were me, I would be asking the P&Z board what each one of these stipulations means specifically. What does this mean? What does it mean?
One thing, initially the condition did include a provision specifically requiring 50-foot right-of-way, and that was something that the Planning Commission was very much split on, and basically the majority of the Planning Commission voted to remove the specific right-of-way stipulation on item number 7.
Okay.
Tell me. By taking out the 50-foot, they still say in compliance.
But it still says in compliance with Taney County Road Standards.
I want to know what they mean, because I can tell you what Taney County Road and Bridge Standards say, and it says 50 feet.
Yeah.
And right here it says prior to. So I would, if the Planning and Zoning Commission meant something different than what this says, then we need to know that. Certainly the developer needs to know that. Because I can tell you what, I can't tell you what our attorney's going to say. I'd sure bet I have a pretty good idea what he's going to say about what that means. He's going to grab the Taney County Road and Bridge Standard Book and he goes, here's what it says.
As far as the question, can we make the developer do that? I don't see how. But again, that's a question for legal. I mean, it's an existing road. It's not their fault. It's not
either. I mean, it has certainly, with the amount of development that has occurred, traffic has increased on some of these county roads. So has some entity at the county level required additional right-of-way from a developer who doesn't own the property? In other words, they could maybe ask for additional right-of-way if the developer owns that piece, but are you aware of any instance?
Most of the time, property owners in an area where there's a safety issue are willing. We haven't had, and I brought this up with Randy, and I could just remember one in the last 9 years where we even, because the entire project laid within a pillar of rock pillar, that we even requested that we possibly might go to eminent domain, which this county commission, and Randy said in his 29 years he didn't know, and both of them were safety issues, where we had even talked to anyone about property acquisition through eminent domain, and both of them were small pieces that were holding up large pieces of safety projects, mm-hmm. you know, that we had implemented. I don't know. I was hoping that the developer themselves could maybe negotiate or be able to, because most of the time it's a volunteer effort that we do to even change roads after the easement has been in place. We changed the road after the easement was set. And the road might lay, like I said, right alongside the edge of the easement. And so those are things that, so far, the county hasn't pursued. It's all been a voluntary effort on the safety part of the issue by the property owners to improve their road or yep. improve the...
Bob, we need to know what P&Z meant. This, and I heard what you said, but what you said and what I see in writing are in conflict, it seems to me. And I personally would like to see that addressed.
And I guess it's...
The reason I do that is because you say, we're granting our permission for this to take place with this stipulation. Whether or not to have authority or not, that's part of what was given in, at least in what the documents that you've given us this morning.
Well, and also, you know, you said that they were split on the 50-foot, so they decided to take it out because that's what they agreed on. But technically, the 50-foot's still there. So was it their intention to get rid of the 50-foot, or the intention to get rid of the words 50-foot but still leave the stipulation? So I think, I agree with Ron. You need to find out what they were meaning.
My understanding was that the majority, and it was very much split, but that the majority didn't feel like it was going to be feasible for the developer to obtain 50 feet along the entire 2.5-mile stretch.
Then stipulation number 7 needs to be changed to word that.
Well, and you've got H and I, so those are two things that are needed for it to go forward. And I understand developers don't want to plow a great deal of finances into any project that they don't think is going to be fruitful. Danny, anything else?
No, when we have counties, so that you get a better idea of what we're talking about, when we have county roads that are that start off at 50 feet and go to 30 and back to 50 or 60 feet and down to 25 or 35, those are where we have in the past, like on a corner or something, ourselves asked the property owner to donate the easement, which has been very cooperative, and we have went in and changed the road easement with the cooperation of the property owners. And that's the only thing that I would say on that. And we have places, and one of them is along Lakeshore Drive, where at the very end of it, it goes from a 50-foot down to a 30-foot, and we can't turn our snow plows or maintain that 30-foot of road that goes through there because of for snow removal or anything like that. So we've actually posted signs that county maintenance will end at this point, and that's strictly because they have 30 foot into a piece of property. It's still public road, but we can't go in there because we can't turn around.
Can't get out.
Can't get out. And
does this have a turnaround at the end of where the county's maintaining the
gun? It didn't when I was down there, but I don't know how the gate is now. Is there a...
We back up into, there's a road just before the gate. I think it has a name on it. It's either a public road or used coming as a driveway. That's...
So you deadhead back
into there and come on out. That's... Otherwise, we've got to back all the way to Ladyville.
Do you think this road came into the county system through the abolishment of a special road district years ago, or... I know at one time there were like 28 special road districts in the county, but that was a long time ago.
I know it's been in existence for many, many years, long before I started here. So.
I think we have to have some answers for him, and I don't know whether you go back through, just put this on the P&Z discussion list and go back through and answer some of these questions that we have so that they know how to proceed.
And we do have a meeting this upcoming Monday night, and I believe it's something we can discuss under old and new business, just to get further clarification.
To this point, you've got our interest is to make sure that. The people here are served, as well as P&Z, what they've demanded on this stipulation. That's what we, as a county commission, are concerned with. Did they? Have you received a road standard book?
Yeah.
Okay. And you see what all's involved in that, and then I guess some more clarification on what you've got stipulated is what we would ask as a county commission.
Mr. Beeline, is there anything else that we can try to answer for you?
I don't believe so. I appreciate the time.
You gentlemen have any further comments? Randy, Bob?
No, I'll find you what information I can as far as it being a cart road and that type of thing. So.
Okay, I appreciate that.
One thing of interest that I want you to check on is possible vacate of that road, because for some reason we could travel it whenever I was a teenager, and now we can't. Okay. We couldn't travel it no more. It was shut off by a private individual. And the only way that you can do that as a public road is through a vacation process. And so that's one thing I want you to look at and see.
I do know Tim Houches has already completed quite a bit of research on this. All he's really shared with me up to this point is that this road dates back to the late 1800s as a public road. It was first referred to as the Boston Ferry Road, like in 1878. And that original description seems to pretty closely match Sunset Inn Road. It deviates in a few areas, but it seems to be pretty close.
There was two ferries on the road at one time, and they changed one of the ferries because of the water situation. Mm-hmm. And that's how that description comes. What I would like to see from somewhere in the records, there should be a vacate of the property if it was allowed to gate it.
Exactly.
So.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
And as a matter of fact, you might check with the College of the Ozarks. They might be one of the key things as far as their at that point, not wanting anybody to go farther, you know what I mean, into the properties. So you might check with them, see if they applied for a vacate or something from that point on. So I'd be very interested to it'd be something of interest for the developer.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Appreciate it.
Melanie, would you join us, please? Good morning.
Hello.
Thank you.
Report I just handed you gentlemen is my semi-annual report, which is per RSMO 54150. It is as of June 30th, 2013. Would you like me to just kind of go over the report? You want to look at it a little bit first?
However you would like to approach it. If you give me just a minute, though, I would like to peruse it just a bit. Thank you. Okay, now why don't you walk us through whatever part of it that you'd like to highlight.
The total budget funds right now are $51,127,179.6. Total treasurer's funds, $1,040,226.46. Grand total of all funds, $52,167,397.42. Then the attached reports illustrate all of the detailed fund balances, with the far right-hand column providing the breakdown of each fund. Beginning with balances as of January 1st, 2013, revenues and expenditures, and ending balances per fund as of June 30th, 2013. And then below you'll see all my investments and breakdown of cash on hand by the County Treasurer's Office as of June 30th. Total cash in my cash account is $28,172,605.87. Certificates of deposit, $19,443,076.69. U.S. agency investments, $4,551,714.86. Total of all cash, $52,167,397.42.
So I'm looking at the page that has the different funds on it. I guess it would be the second page in the packet that you've given us. It shows what we've brought in as law enforcement revenues. That's the tax that was passed to support the bonding issue, I'm assuming, for the judicial facility and the jail.
Yes.
And it shows revenues, and it shows then expenditures. Can you help me with what those expenditures are that we would have paid out of that fund? Not that it's not earmarked for facility charges, but I was really thinking we were utilizing that for the payment of the bond. We paid the 1.6. It'll be due back.
I have to check with the auditor's office to see which invoices came through there for that.
Let me try to understand what you just said. You're thinking that the total expenditures were that for the law, the building, when the actual ballot language stated that it was for I think it was, I hate to quote the language on the ballot when I don't have it before me, but it actually pertained to other law enforcement operations of the facility itself. As we budgeted in the past, we took the bond payment from there at the end of the year, and there was, if it was $100,000 more came in the taxes, it was applied to the operation of the facility, I believe. Whatever the difference was.
I can check with the auditor's office and see what invoices were paid to.
Here's my thought on that. We built a budget for the law enforcement revenues and expenditures. And I believe within that budget that the monies were budgeted for the payment of the bonded debt. Then for the other expenditures within the facility, we budgeted within GCR.
It was all through GCR until we changed it.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. For this year, we changed it. I'm curious about what other expenditures we're picking up out of that fund. Because at the end of the day, I wonder if that might be TIF.
Oh, I bet you're right.
Now that would be an expenditure that would come out.
I think you're right.
I'll bet that's it.
Right.
there would be a withholding of TIF.
From that tax?
Yes.
Yes, I think you're right.
Yes, I'm okay. And I agree with you, it can be utilized for other things, but this year I believe we're right on the verge of just having enough money by year's end to pay that bond.
Right.
Okay.
And no argument about that, and I think that you've pinpointed the difference with the TIF payment that,
I believe that is right.
Comes out of that tax.
Of course, the big balance of the monies that we have on hand are monies that come from the sales tax for clean water, for sewer purposes, etc. Part of those we've more or less held back because we've got that Bee Creek bond that has to be paid, etc. Okay.
That's the SRF funding for the bond. Is that what it is?
Mel, do you have some other comments regarding?
I don't believe so.
I would entertain a motion to accept the final settlement and investment report of the Taney County Treasurer as of June 30th, 2013.
Does that need to be in placed in the form of a vote?
Yes.
That's according to statute?
Yeah, we need to accept the report on
motion
record.
To accept the treasurer's report.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to accept the final settlement and investment report of the Taney County Treasurer as presented by Melanie Smith as of June 30th, 2013. Discussion. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Melanie, thank you. Gentlemen, we have in front of us an agreement, intergovernmental agreement, by and between the County of Taney and City of Forsyth.
That agreement has already been approved, Ron, I think, with the other mayor's signature, a former mayor's signature is what I should say, and I think all that needs to be done there is your signature placed upon the agreement. But if you want to go ahead and place a vote on it, that's fine to show that we have an intergovernmental agreement with the City of Forsyth, and I'll make the motion if you want to proceed that way.
Well, I think if we word the motion to approve an intergovernmental agreement between the City of Forsyth and Taney County, and add the caveat that we have a new mayor, and this updates all of our records.
Okay. But so moved, then what you just stated is was the new mayor.
What this?
He's already signed it.
Yes.
It's been presented through the city. been a very useful tool for the county to dispose of. It started off with initially with storm debris, and it's actually came into road easement debris where we have tried to improve, as I mentioned this morning, taking curves out and blind spots and things like that, and having a place to put that on a centralized location.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve the intergovernmental agreement between the City of Forsyth and Tini County, which was executed by the City of Forsyth on the 17th day of June, 2013. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. Motion carries. Road and bridge update. Randy?
Yeah, we need a 2-minute recess.
I'm sorry, what?
2 to 5 minute recess.
If we could stand in recess until 10, at which time we will take up the next order of business. With no